Hey, look at that. Steven's here too.
What?
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Steven Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 478 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Seth. I'm doing the intro this week, even though Steven is here, because I'm feeling a little ornery. What's up, guys?
That's totally fine. You can feel ornery.
Glad we have your permission.
Oh, I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing well.
I cooked fried chicken tonight.
So you fried chicken?
I fried up some fried chicken. I am in a stellar mood.
Was there vodka involved?
There also was vodka involved. How did you know?
I feel like that's the mood driver. I mean, fried chicken just makes you feel good.
Right.
And then vodka makes you feel ornery.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit of both. I have to give her credit. My wife, we're sitting, we have some friends over. We're going up to Chase the Eclipse on Monday. We're recording this Saturday night. And I warned my wife that I was going to have to step away, you know, to do this with our friends over and whatever. She's like, yeah, no problem, no problem. And I told her the timing and everything. And like, we're sitting at dinner having a grand old time. She's like, you know, you have to go do your podcast now, right? I'm like, but there's still more chicken on the table. Like, do I have time to eat a whole other piece or only a half? What should I do?
We would have taken a delay in the name of chicken, I think.
I just wolfed down another half piece.
I figured you were going to say you were eating one right now as we talk.
Yeah, no, I had to pick up my laptop and it gets a little greasy. I don't want to do that.
So, man. Follow up from last week. So we talked a little bit about United and the FAA, and they got approved.
Yeah. So this was one. I mean, still a lot going on. And still, like, the FAA is doing its security audit, and it's not security, but their audit still is happening. But separate from that, in parallel, was the application for United to be able to run its own check rides for the pilots, right? And freshly trained pilots have to get a checkout on the real airplane.
Yep.
And the official FAA policy, which no one actually follows, is that FAA check ride audit. FAA employees do that check ride audit. And all of the major airlines have the ability to do it themselves. They have to reapply every 2 years. We talked about this a little bit on last week's episode, but it's one of the things that might get delayed, and maybe it should have been delayed. I don't know, but the FAA won. Or, excuse me, United won. They got it renewed, no problem.
Yeah, so, that's good. Good news for United.
Yeah. Still plenty of other stuff going on, though.
Yeah. In weird news, Oakland Airport, OAK, wants San Francisco in its name.
Do you really think this is weird news?
I mean, it's San Francisco, so it's the Bay Area. So yeah, apologies to all of our Bay Area listeners.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what took them so long?
I mean, is it like Newark, New York Liberty International,
or Melbourne, Orlando International, or Charleroi, Brussels, or
I'm trying to think about
Frankfurt, right? I mean, like,
Han is really close to Frankfurt. Let's be clear.
What's the Paris one?
Orly? Orly?
De Gaulle?
Orly's like in downtown. Come on. Yeah, Beauvais, right?
Oh, Beauvais.
There's the Paris one. Memmingen is actually arguably the worst of them. West Munich.
I mean, I when I look at the map I look at Han, like Han's, I mean, it's West Frankfurt, so it's not much better, I guess.
No, I give them credit, though. The Memmingen one is actually, I think, like, has West in the name. Like, yeah, we call it Munich, but not really. A couple of years ago, our January trip, I flew, I think, in or out of there. I don't remember now which.
I think you flew into there, because then you went to Liechtenstein.
Right, yes. I flew in there. I went somewhere else, then flew in there, rented a car, drove through Liechtenstein, came back up and met you guys back in Munich, I guess, or not Munich. We met somewhere. Düsseldorf? I don't know.
Hamburg?
No, it was south.
You and I met in Hamburg, and then from there we went
somewhere else.
I thought it was Munich.
Maybe it was Munich. I don't.
Yeah. Anyway, they call it the West Munich Airport, though, and it's like very West Munich. South. Yeah. Anyway, I get what Oakland's going for here, right? They've tried for a few years to bring in LCCs, especially long haul. Right. Norwegian did it at one point. They've had a couple others try, and it has never worked out. And the argument they're making is that no one actually knows where Oakland is. And so they, you know,
that's a
why would I fly there? I want to go to San Francisco. So they want to be Oakland, San Francisco Bay Airport, I think.
San Francisco Bay, Oakland Airport.
Even better. Park. So, and the interesting thing about this is, like, there have been lawsuits over the years around many of the cities we just named. And I think most recently, the one that was decided was the Melbourne Airport in Florida, which is an hour east on the coast from actual Orlando. And they eventually won their lawsuit, allowing them to claim that name. Ryanair won a lawsuit or three, allowing them to use vaguely nearby city names as their airports. So legally, it seems like there's no reason this won't happen. But, you know, yay.
I mean, it's like the literal burying of the lead, like putting San Francisco first. It's like San Francisco, Oakland, you know, San Francisco Bay, Oakland Airport. It's like, okay.
Well, I think Manchester also has Boston in their name, right? They added that.
Yeah, that's true. By me, Manchester, New Hampshire does have Boston in the name.
I mean, I think a more appropriate name would be Southwest Airlines Airport at this point.
It's not anymore, though.
Who flies there? Everyone keeps canceling service other than Southwest.
Even Southwest doesn't have a ton. Yeah, I mean, no. The short answer is not enough. Avelo just added a new route. I actually got to decide if I'm going to fly that inaugural still. Yeah, there's some interesting bits going on. But I don't know. There are some options. It's mostly, I mean, the big three plus Southwest all fly to their hubs.
No, or a hub or two. I don't think United flies to Oakland at all anymore.
Oh, sorry. I was talking Manchester.
He was talking about Manchester.
Oh. No. Manchester, I know, is still significant. I mean, Oakland.
Oh, then that one probably is still a Southwest hub. Never mind. We were talking about very different things for a second there. Sorry.
I think Delta. I mean, Delta has some flights to Oakland.
I thought they were dropping them. I know they're because they. I think they either San Jose or Oakland is going away for Delta.
Maybe it is.
I'll pull up Cirium and see what we got. But
and if anyone from Oakland Airport by chance is listening, you guys screwed up that airport when you did the ridiculous rental car thing.
What'd they do?
You used to stumble across the street and get your rental car and leave. Then they moved it like 2 miles away, and for a long time, there was no train or anything.
So how'd you get there? Had to rent a car? Like, you had to get a taxi?
There was a bus that wouldn't really run very often. It was always packed.
Wow.
And, like, I used to always fly into Oakland over San Francisco or San Jose, and that, when they did that, I stopped flying there at all.
So, I mean, Alaska still flies there from Portland and Seattle. Delta flies to Atlanta starting June 7th of this year. Salt Lake City. Los Angeles will end.
There's a decent amount of Mexico.
Yeah, Valeris has Guadalajara, Leon, Mexico City, Morelia, San Salvador. That's Valeris, El Salvador.
BJX, there's another one.
BJX is that Leon? That's Bajio, okay. Right? That's Bajio, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at a Cirium map now. There's a Tenerife flight.
What?
I don't know. This is a charter in July. I don't know.
Oh, Azores Airlines does have Terceria.
Terceria, yeah, sorry. Not Tenerife. Yeah, I would say it's too offshore. But yeah, there's some Hawaii stuff, both Southwest and Alaska, looks like.
I might have to do that Azores Airlines one. That's kind of cool.
All right, but that's one, I guess, where they've done a good enough job marketing it as, no, really, this is San Francisco. Don't worry about the fact that your mag tag say something else on it.
Or are there enough Azorean people living in the Bay Area, what is that, the East Bay?
East Bay?
North Bay?
Wait, how often is that flight running? Is it like the furrow flight, which there's only six occurrences?
It's pretty light.
Yeah, seasonal. Yeah, I think it's like once a week or something. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never flown into Oakland. Everybody I talk to that flies into Oakland hates it. So, like, even if they're connecting, they're like, this is the worst thing ever. It's just like a dump of an airport.
Yeah. Allegiant's got a few flights up into Idaho. I don't know.
Have you?
N3 is San Salvador. Spirit.
Have you flown there, Seth? Do you fly there?
I did it once way back in the day. Way back. It's probably 15 years ago now on All You Can Jet. So I imagine it's a different airport now, but.
Probably not. That's probably why people hate it so much.
That could also be. Yeah, there's not a ton of stuff. Southwest, definitely the largest present there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's talk about, what do we got? We got Turkish Airlines adding Denver.
Yay?
I don't understand this necessarily. Like, I get it. Turkish is wanting to grow. They added Detroit earlier in the year.
They're making money. They just reported earnings again, and it was good. So, something's working.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the growth is good. I don't understand Denver of all. I mean, I guess maybe they're kind of out of places to fly.
I kind of understand Denver.
Why? Explain it.
If you're in Denver, you're going to have to, like, what are your options to go anywhere internationally?
Frankfurt, London, Tokyo. Okay.
And, like, there's a lot of...
Paris still there?
Paris still there, I think.
Who flies Paris from Denver?
Air France. Air France.
Air France did at one point.
But so you're somewhat but my point is you're somewhat limited beyond the major cities in Europe.
Okay, fair enough.
And Turkish has a lot more connectivity.
To be clear, Istanbul is in Europe.
Dublin current July schedule has Keflavik, Dublin, Heathrow, Paris, Frankfurt, Munich, and Istanbul.
I mean, would you rather they fly to Sevilla so they're on the Asian side?
Yeah, there you go. I get what you're saying. You're saying you give it a one stop, basically, into, you can even get into Asia, parts of Asia, South Asia.
And a lot of Africa that the European connections don't give you, the other European connections.
And, also like South Asia, like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all those places.
Yeah.
From that perspective, I get it. I think it's more, I think people are touting this as like, oh, look how you can get to Istanbul. I don't know that a lot of people are going to Istanbul. Like, maybe, but I don't feel like this is O&D traffic.
No, I don't think it's O&D, but I mean, how much of Turkish's traffic anywhere out of the States is O&D?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, a lot of it is onward connections at this point. You raise an interesting point, though, Boz, like how much of this is U.S. originating traffic that they're trying to pick up for connections through their hub, and that's a big opportunity.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised by, I mean, I get Detroit. I'm surprised they don't fly to Minneapolis with the large amount of Northeast African immigrants in the Minneapolis greater metro area. I'm a little surprised. So, but I guess Detroit, similar. I don't know. It's interesting what they pick and choose for where they want to fly.
But Minneapolis doesn't have BA flights to London.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Minneapolis was like this bustling hub of a city.
No.
Target was bringing in all the traffic.
Well, clearly they don't have enough targets internationally.
And they've also talked about other places they wanted to fly, right? Like they've talked about some other cities in the United States. I think they mentioned Salt Lake City at one point. They already fly to Seattle. So, I mean, they're really expanding.
They're certainly making a push to go from it's not quite making it from the Middle East 3 to the Middle East 4, but they're certainly pushing in that direction.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to match that model with arguably a better demand to the hub itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably just making that up, but I feel like, and that's based on personal preference. So if I'm going to visit Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Doha, or Istanbul, putting political and, you know, other challenges aside, Istanbul would be my choice every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
and I mean, these days with Lufthansa, you never know if you're going to get hit by a strike either.
No, they got an agreement with Verdi. They've got they settled most of those problems. All the ground handlers have a new contract now.
But I mean, there was still a lot of disruption.
Yes, there was, but the theory is that at least for the next 2 or 3 years, we're okay.
Until the next group strikes.
Yes.
I wish the airport had better connectivity into the central, like kind of like the old airport did with the tram to the, like the, what was it, the subway to the tram.
They're still building one, right?
They have one, but it doesn't go, like you have to definitely connect kind of towards, it's like on the north side of the city, like what we would call like the old city or whatever. And you have to connect and you have to walk a little bit, but it's done as far as I understand. Yeah. So,
okay. I mean, the express bus isn't terrible, but
yeah. Yeah. Hainan Airlines is thinking about buying some A330 Neos.
Maybe.
Why? Maybe.
They did something interesting. They're talking about getting new airplanes, new wide bodies. If I remember correctly, they're mostly a 787 operator today. But they apparently put out a release announcing that they had an order with Safran for galleys for the A330 Neo, but they don't have any A330 Neos yet.
Oops.
Yeah. No big deal.
It was an announcement, sub-announcement? Like,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah. So, cute little games we play.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, I could see them buying the A330. I mean, they have A330s already, so the Neo makes sense.
Right? Do they have both?
I don't think they have any Neos, but I know they have...
Yeah, sorry, 787s.
I think they have 787s as well, yeah. Because that's what they flew. They were flying those to Seattle for a while, to a bunch of... But they have some A330s doing... I think they were doing like LAX or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I realized they had 29 of them. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't think they could replace. I mean, they said it in their comment that they're for the 330 Neos. So,
yeah,
and they also actually have 350-900s on order, I guess. But who knows if they're actually going to get those?
They're in order or parked?
Well, let's see. Introduced and oh, they retired them. They parked them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, COVID was a problem.
Yeah. Two lightning.
Yeah, most of them have been replaced. Yeah. Iberia, South Africa, although those, I think, have since moved on. Thai, Fiji, and two back to Avalon as the lesser.
Wow. Speaking of planes being scrapped and going back, four more A380s are on the chopping block. Three from Air France, one from Singapore.
Yeah, so this is Dr. Something is the lessor, which I should know that name. I'm trying to find it again now. Dr. Peters Group is a German leasing company, and they are the ones that had the original four planes that were getting scrapped. They've added four more to it. They announced that three would be scrapped in Europe and one would be scrapped in Asia or in Australia. And now we know three are from Air France and one is from Singapore Airlines. So that makes a certain amount of sense. But yeah. So they, and the release was interesting, right? They basically said, here's the quote. With the resurgence and the reliance on the A380 increasing the need for quality USM parts, the timing is right for retiring end-of-life A380 aircraft and monetizing the residual value of their serviceable parts, end quote. Used serviceable material is what USM stands for there. So
do you think there's a lot of carriers lining up to buy these parts?
Well, that's the theory between the leasing company and the contractor they have for spare parts operations.
Yeah, other than Emirates, who would really be in the market for a large number of parts?
Qantas, maybe?
Anyone still operating them, right? Like, you need, and that's, yes, Qantas makes sense why they'd have some in Alice Springs, is where they're going to base the Asia inventory, covering that region. ANA still has its three operating out of Narita. I mean,
Lufthansa still has theirs that they're operating out of Munich, right? So.
Maybe BA can finally get their 380s all fixed.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I see Qantas as being one of the bigger, besides Emirates. I mean, Emirates is the obvious one, but
I thought Qantas only pulled a few of theirs out of retirement.
I think they have the 8 or 10, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't realize there were that many. I thought it was just 3 or 4.
I think they increased it, so.
I'm trying to see what their fleet, I'm trying to look at their fleet numbers real quick while we're talking. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't have the numbers, but anyway, United canceled Investor Day. Not a good look.
No, Qantas currently PlaneSpotter says 7 active, 3 still parked.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is all, and not all the airlines always do it, but most of the U.S. big airlines were doing Investor Days in sort of the Q2 time frame, and United had one on schedule and has since scrubbed it in favor of perhaps trying to get some, quote unquote, in favor of resolving the safety issues that have come up of late.
Wow. So,
not great.
I mean, do you think they just won't want to be, get a barrage of questions about what's going on? Is that?
That would be my guess, right? Focus on the, we're focused on running our, how many times can you say we're focused on running our business, we're cooperating with the FAA, we want to make sure that our passengers have a safe and reliable experience every time they get on board.
Yep.
Speaking of, I finally watched the John Oliver Boeing takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen that yet?
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah, we have some friends over and they wanted to watch it. And my wife's like, yeah, let's see what Seth picks apart. And I'm like, no, he's going to say everything just right. I'm not at all worried about that.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, maybe a little too obsessed with the former CEO who married his first cousin. But other than that, yeah, it was a very, very interesting, obviously, with his style and sort of, I'll say, more aggressive tone on a lot of things, but there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So, and it came out before the C-suite shakeup and the quote-unquote suicide.
Worth a watch?
It was interesting, right? Like, I don't think there, other than the CEO marrying his first cousin, I don't think there's anything I learned that was new, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But, did a pretty good job of summing up the entire challenge in a, 15-minute bit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'll have to check it out then. Kind of a last topic for our main show here. earthquake. If you missed the news or you live under a rock, there was an earthquake in the northeast.
Oh yeah,
just west of New York City.
Yeah, and it was like a 4.8, so not small, not huge, but it was, you could feel it. Foz, I assume you felt it.
Oh yeah,
Seth, did you feel it in New Hampshire?
I did not. Although at the time I was in a grocery store that had no power,
mm-hmm.
which isn't to excuse why I wouldn't feel something, but I would feel like I might have been a little distracted from other bits. Foz, you said one of your coworkers up in New Hampshire felt it though, right?
Yep. Huh. I mean, I was in LA during a small quake. I don't even remember. It was during COVID. And I didn't realize what it was because it was so subtle. Like the jolting of it was so subtle. I thought I was getting sick. Like I thought it was like
vertigo.
Nauseous. Yeah, I thought it was like vertigo type thing, but it was an earthquake. So, you know, I'm sure some people were like, what's happening? No big deal. But this kind of threw New York City and New York City airspace into a bit of chaos. Okay. Thankfully, it recovered, but they had to evacuate the Newark Tower.
Yeah, because I think they had power issues, so they had to evacuate the Newark Tower, so they went to the backup tower, which is in the United Terminal, but then the radios weren't working.
They weren't as good as they should have been, I think. They were still able to talk to some planes, but like the range wasn't as good as they wanted or something like that.
Mm. So they're having to relay messages, right, through like other planes?
Yeah, like tell the plane behind you that they're cleared to land after you do, kind of thing.
That's not comforting.
Not great.
You can find some of those recordings on YouTube. It was fun to those.
Yeah. They had to check the runway, so they sent out vehicles to check the runways. They were trying to do all this with, I think it was LaGuardia and Newark were the main ones, right? JFK, I don't think they had as many problems, but...
No, I think it was JFK and Newark that had issues. LaGuardia was...
Oh, okay. I had it backwards.
Yeah, because there was a Spirit flight that diverted from Newark to LaGuardia.
Oh. Wow.
And as our good friend Jason Rabinowitz shared with me, an Allegiant flight from Knoxville to Newark ended up diverting to Allentown. So some lucky folks got the Knoxville to Allentown line.
Yeah. And then they were probably told this is New York Allentown Airport. So we're going to
New York, very west. my comment about the west bit is just that when posting about it online and talking about it online, the governor of New York, rather than saying there was an earthquake in New Jersey, said there was an earthquake west of Manhattan. Or west of New York City.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, F those guys.
Yeah, so Foz, were you in Pennsylvania or were you in Jersey at the time?
At the top moment, I was in Pennsylvania. It was really,
so you could feel it there, like near where you were.
Yes. I mean, it's not very far. Like, New Jersey's not that big, right, in the middle part. So as the crow flies, I was probably 15, 20 miles from there.
Okay, yeah. Kind of knock anything off the walls or anything? Or?
No, nothing like that. It was weird. Having been through earthquakes before, this one was weird because I started hearing a noise, like a really low plane going over. And I'm in the approach path to Trenton and sometimes McGuire, so sometimes I hear stuff. And it got a little louder. And I'm like, I don't see anything. And then it started, the everything started shaking. I'm like, wait,
huh? Yeah, like, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're safe. To our Patreon subscribers, we're going to talk a little bit about some new frequent flyer programs, credit cards, and loyalty in general. We're going to talk about Mexico's state-owned airline and JetBlue a little bit. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, stick around for that. If you're not, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining the show. Thanks for leaving comments and questions and critiques of what we say. We always appreciate it. So, we'll talk to you next time, and happy travels.
Take care.
Catch you later.